Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5 this morning, verse 17. Matthew 5, 17, if you'll stand when you get that, please. Jesus is still teaching in his sermon. And he says in verse 17, he said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray. Father, as we go into your word today, I just pray that our hearts, our eyes, our ears, our minds will be open to what the Holy Spirit has for us, that you'll be with me, to be your messenger as always, just to proclaim what you have me to do. May you be glorified in all that man does and none for us. But we love you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
My message was prepared for this morning kind of early last week. And I know that our eyes have been on Israel for 6 months, at least many people's eyes have, and all that's going on over there, if you know the scriptures and if you pay attention to what God has us to see and know about all of that. But I don't know how you could get up in the pulpit this morning and not mention what had happened last night in Israel. Not to put your full focus on it maybe, but I don't see how you could do it. But there will be some pulpits in America that don't even mention it this morning. It's just the way it is. God calls us in His Word to pray for Israel. God calls us in His Word to pay attention to Israel. God calls us in His Word, if we are astute Christians and we want to know what's going on in the world, to look through the binoculars that have Israel written on the side of them. That's my full belief. You might disagree with me afterwards, and you have full freedom to do that, but that's my full belief. There's not one missile, not one, that will land in Israel that God does not permit to land. Yes, yesterday, if you watched that on the news, and then I was on Amir's telegram and saw a lot of detail. If you watched that, it was fascinating how technology that God has allowed man to have to intercept those missiles in the air. And not one missile, except maybe one that fell out of 300 and something that were launched, made it into the Israeli airspace. Now, if some made it to the airspace going over the Temple Mount, you saw that. But I will say this, just like I said when Donald Trump got elected and our economy turned around, that if we do not give God glory when He deserves glory, He might just take it away. Okay? And I'm not saying anything in between the lines here about Donald Trump, so don't read that. I'm just saying, if you'll remember, I said up here behind this pulpit, everything looks great, but we better give God the glory where He deserves the glory. God is working over there, and He's working in all of our lives. All of the people of Israel, the majority of them know, are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. We know what Daniel teaches. We know what Revelation teaches. We know what's coming down the road for Israel. Hard times. But what we're seeing now is God is starting to turn things around in history for the world, and especially Israel. In troubling times, it's going to be how He saves a big part of Israel and also saves a lot of people in the world in the tribulation period. No, I will say it again, I do not believe what's going on over there now is Ezekiel 38. It's not that war yet. The Bible says Israel will be at peace with unwalled villages, and will be at peace when all of these nations come against them. But all of the nations are lined up in this coalition right now that will be involved in that. I saw people on the news yesterday, news anchors, they were saying they were scared. World War III is fixing to start. I read other people that were scared and that were fearful. Jesus said, I did not give you a spirit of fear. If you know God's word, there's no way we should have fear because we know God is in control of everything. He is sovereign. And I said all that to say this. Anyone that believes in God, we believe in the one true living God. That is our belief. Other religions believe in their God, whatever they've made him up to be. But no matter what, unless you are an atheist, and I don't believe you can be a true atheist, but unless you are an atheist, you are trying your best somewhere, whether it's Islam or Buddhism or anything else, you are trying your best to have a strong standing before the God that you believe in. Okay? We believe that we have to have a right standing before the God that we believe in, correct? We just know and believe that our standing comes from not man, it comes from Jesus Christ. Okay? God is working. Do not be fearful of it. Okay? Whatever we see, he is sovereign and he is moving the chessboard in it. Do not listen to a lot of the false things that you're hearing coming out. There's a lot of things coming from Russia and China right now. I will just tell you that's on a bunch of these TikTok and other things you can go on, and it's false information. They've actually got pictures on there now. They're saying Israel is burning, and they've proven that's pictures from other fires in other locations. None of that is true. God is sovereign. They are going to go through a hard time. We go through hard times. God is sovereign in our life. But I'm going to say that to say this again, to get right into the message. Jesus is going to get us to a point here where he talks about righteousness. And I'll give you this definition later on in there, but what is righteousness? Righteousness is our right standing before God. It is when all of this is gone, when all of your life is gone and my life is gone and the problems we think we have on life don't matter anymore, in that moment when we stand before the Lord, and if you believe as I believe, if we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. There will be no doubt about that. But the reason we will be there is because we have a right standing before God. That's what righteousness means. And Jesus is going to get to that in just a minute. Remember last Sunday we preached on this when he said you are the salt and you are the light. And I tried to emphasize to you in being the salt, which is something that preserves, something that has a foundation. It is in these times that we live that we are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the ones that has that strong foundation. When somebody asks us, the reason or the answer that we believe in the way we do is we can be able to tell them and they can see us live, not in fear, but in a strong foundation and belief in God and his words and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, that's what makes you the salt. And then they see the light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in us. It is in these days that we witness to the world, not only through our words, but through our actions, right? Amen. That's what he means by that. So Jesus is teaching he's got a big audience here, but he's mainly teaching his disciples. And then in that group of disciples, he's mainly teaching that 12, okay, that's going to be the foundation of the church, minus one, but then you add Paul in. That's going to be that 12 that's going to be the foundation of the church. He's giving them these foundation principles, okay, that he's teaching them. It's common sense to know when Jesus came on the scene, and remember, he had been going about doing good and healing people and preaching and teaching before the Beatitudes here, before his Sermon on the Mount. They had seen him and heard him, and he taught like no other. Remember, that's what they said. He taught them like no other. So naturally, some of the Pharisees and the scribes and teachers of the law and some of the others that disapproved of Jesus, what would they naturally say? They would naturally say, he's trying to change all the teachings that God gave us through Moses. And when you mentioned Moses, it was in reverence to all of them, right? He's trying to change all of our laws, all of our teachings. He's trying to go against the law that Moses gave us. It's common sense to know that that's what they were saying. He knew that's what they were saying against him. God's righteousness is so much higher than man's that it's not attainable by any action or any sacrifice of mankind. We cannot attain on our own righteousness, a righteous standing before God. And all of the other religions believe they can. That's what they're trying to do. Some in the Christian community believe that they can. That's what they're trying to do. So what I was wanting to do here, before we go to the teachings of Jesus on murder and divorce, which is what we will get into next week. I want to spend some time in these verses and kind of go over them really well. The way that Jesus wants us to look at the commands of God is from a heart of righteousness, a heart of right standing before God, not on our own. Okay? To exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was not to be more zealous and work harder than they in the same things that they were doing. No, it's in a righteousness of God you're standing before Him. I'm talking about in a position before Him. Okay? So look at verse 17 again. He said, many of you are thinking this. Many of you are saying this. Do not listen to the scribes and the Pharisees that are claiming that I'm doing this. I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. No, I didn't come to destroy them. I came to be the fulfillment of them. And that's exactly what he was. The law that was given through Moses was perfect because God gave it. But man cannot keep it perfect, and they didn't. Okay, it would take a lot longer time than I have to go back in my limited knowledge of it and explain exactly what the law did for them or whatever. It's a lot of teachings in that, but all of you know it. The law given by God is for them that they could follow His commandments and follow Him. But what did they do? The same thing that man always does. We take something and we have to put our own markings on it, and we have to change it, and we have to see if we can make it better. Correct? Isn't that right? It's what we do. And that's exactly what they started to do with the law. So Jesus' teachings astonished the crowds. No one had ever taught them the way he had. No one had ever explained the law to them. Of course they couldn't, but they didn't know who he was at the time. No one had ever explained it the way that he did. And no one had ever added the little extra things that he did. And some said, would you change in the law? No, he was changing their traditions that they had added to. He never changed any of the scriptures, but he highlighted and he enhanced all of them with meaning that they had never understood before. This understanding of God's word was so different in some respects that some, as I said, might have thought that his intention was to destroy the law or to change it or to abolish, is what it actually means, to abolish the law and the prophets. He said, that's not what I did. The first part of John 1:17 says this, for the law was given through Moses, okay? Jesus obeyed all of that commandment of the law. Here's the last part of this verse, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. So the verse said the law was given through Moses, but not instead of, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. The grace and truth that's supposed to be seen from the law is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he came to do, and that's what he came to tell them on this. Romans 4:6-8, Paul tells us this. He's talking about David here. When you go back and read it, he said, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness, that means puts upon, apart from the works. So Paul's separating it out here. David separated out works and righteousness. Then Paul gives the actual quote of David. He says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute his sin. In other words, blessed is the man that the Lord does not leave his sin upon him when we stand before him. Righteousness has been put upon us, imputed to us, given to us through favor, that's grace, by the blood shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our standing before God. That's righteousness. The word impute means to count it as or to esteem it as already having been done. So the emphasis here through David in the Psalms is God can impute your sins upon you in your standing before Him, or He can impute the righteousness of Christ as you're standing before Him. There's only two things there. Only two. Lawless deeds are iniquities in not keeping with God's commands. So the law that was given was never intended to show righteousness or to give righteousness. It was to give a sense of knowing that man cannot reach that standing before God. Okay? David spoke of imputed righteousness. This is grace and truth through Jesus Christ, as I said. Jesus also did. I did not come to destroy, but I came to be the fulfillment of the law. I'm not changing anything, but I am He that was come. I am your Messiah. I am Him that is going to fulfill that for you. So this was a foundation that the disciples needed to learn before they were to teach and be the foundation of the church built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Romans 10:4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness that everyone to everyone that believes." Not the abolishing of the law, but the end of the law where he took it forward. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. In other words, belief in him brings righteousness before God. The word end here means he is the final purpose, the fulfillment of which righteousness comes in those who believe. God was working through all history to bring man to a certain point. Now the question, the obvious question might be, what about those people before Jesus came? What about those people before the cross? They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't keep it perfect. So they couldn't please God in that. But we go all the way back to Abraham and answer that question. How did God say Abraham was a child of God? Because he believed God through faith. He said righteousness was placed upon Abraham because of his faith, not in works. Satan loves to do tricks like that. And he's working overtime and deception in this world. Never forget, Satan is not walking around in a red suit with a pitchfork just killing people. Okay? His main weapons are deception and lies. Deception and lies. And the only way we won't be fooled at is by knowing the scriptures of God. Well, that's what he did in the law, starting with them when they came back from Babylon. Now get this, 70 years captive in Babylon. Okay? You had some prophets that were prophesying then, not just Daniel, but a few more. They had the scriptures. But some of the rabbis were there, started to take some of the scriptures and started to do what they called their traditions, and they started to add to it a little bit, even while they were still in Babylon. God brings them back out of Babylon. They build the second temple. They start the sacrificial system again. They find, remember, and have the laws of God again. But now they started to add some of their traditions. If this law is good, what's the old saying we go? If a little bit's good, a little bit's better, a whole lot's better. Okay? What was the Brill Cream commercial years ago that I don't watch anymore? It doesn't do me any good. Little Dab-a-Doo-Yo. Some of you all remember that. Kind of that right here. So let's add it to this. Okay? That's what kind of what they started to do in the law. But it says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Verse 18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until it is fulfilled." It shows us the seriousness of God's word. It shows that Jesus, he was telling them how serious he took the word. They didn't know he was the word at the time, but how serious he took that he took the word of God. Okay? Giving that emphasis upon. All will be fulfilled. In other words, do not change. In our English, this jot and tittle would be something like an apostrophe. You know that. And the other would be like the markings of a letter. If we took the letter E and we erased the bottom, we'd have an F. That's kind of, even in the Hebrew, he said, don't even change anything like that. Not one of those things would be changed in the law. In other words, you don't have permission to add to or take away from God's law, even in your tradition. We have to be careful of that. The church through church history, you can look back and see. It's amazing to me how God has even kept us on the path. You know, really, man has tried to get off here and get off there. We've got to be careful that we don't try to change things. We have to have the Holy Spirit's guidance, okay, in reading God's word. We have to. Do you believe that God would leave it up to man to have in your hands his word or the Holy Spirit's guidance? That's what I mean. God overrides all of our mistakes. My belief is he has his word in our hands for us to know and believe and to know how to live. Be very careful in trying to make the Bible say what you want it to. Okay? It gives us everything we need. There's not anything in life that we don't have in God's word to know how to live and to know how to get through the times in life in which we live. Of course, I'm speaking of intentional actions here now. All of us make mistakes, but I'm talking about intentional, changing and making it safe. And there's people doing that today. So let's be clear on this before we go on. The law gave no righteous standing before God. There was not the first Jewish person that had a righteous standing before God because they were perfect in keeping the law. Only one was perfect. So they had no righteous standing before God in trying to keep the law, which was what? A works. In other words, they themselves didn't make themselves righteous standing before God. They couldn't stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and say, look what I did. I helped you, Lord. I kept the law in such a good way that here I am. Remember the rich young ruler? He had kept a lot of those things, and Jesus said, well, here's the one thing I need for you to do. And he's not asking all of us to do that. He knew that person. He knew his heart. He said, go sell all you belong, all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he went away sad. So it's not a righteousness, which Jesus is fixing to teach here, of what they were thinking it was. And another verse that helps us understand this, of what he was trying to tell them, is when he told them, God can raise up children to Abraham from the stones. Just because you are a descendant of doesn't give you an automatic right that you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Go back to the teaching when he met with Nicodemus and others. He's teaching the same thing. Galatians 2:21 tells us, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. There was no need for Jesus to come if the law could take care of all of that. We would all be under the law right now. We would just live under the law and God would just take us into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? But that's not what it says. The law could not do that. Did that mean the law was flawed? No, I said it was perfect. It was given by God, but man could not keep it perfectly. And there's a lot more teaching with this that you're probably sitting there saying, I wish you'd say this and that, but we don't have time. You know what I mean by this. But then why did Jesus coming not completely do away with the law then? Okay? Why did his coming and his fulfillment not completely just do away with the law? I've never had the opportunity. I'm not even sure I've ever even had a conversation with a Jewish person. Some of you might have. But if God ever gives us the opportunity to witness to a Jewish person, most of them are going to look at it through the Old Testament. They will not believe what we say in the New Testament, and we surely don't want to be able to sit, stand there and tell them your Old Testament has no bearing anymore. It's just the New Testament, because that is not true. We need to be able to show them and witness to them and say, look, Jesus didn't abolish what you believe. Let's look at it from there. He is the fulfillment. He is the Messiah you've been waiting on. We need to be able to show them he is the fulfillment of all that you have believed, all the traditions, all the basis that God built through Israel. Now he is the fulfillment of that, and that's what we need to be able to show them. You will turn them completely away if you try to tell them the Old Testament has no relevance. We need to be able to do that. I'm going to quote David Guzik here. He said, after we come to Jesus, he sends us back to the law. Not under the law, but we learn the heart of God from our conduct and our sanctification. Jesus' teachings came from the law of God. We still go to the Old Testament to see how we're supposed to live in certain things. Even if you don't know you do, it's the things that you were taught in this nation from Christian parents. You were taught things that were in the Old Testament of simply how to treat people and how to love people. Jesus is going to get to some of that when we get into these next chapters here. We're certainly not under everything in the Old Testament, though, are we? The sacrificial system has been done away with. Other things have been done away with. But there's some things that we still keep in the Old Testament under the law. Even though we're not under the law, he is the fulfillment of the law. Do you understand? I'm not mixing you up, I hope. You understand what I'm saying? There's still things that we get from the Old Testament that we're taught. And that's what Jesus is saying. I come to show you the fulfillment of it all. And it's in me is what he would eventually show them. Verse 20 says, and we're going to jump ahead a little bit, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now to us sitting here, we may say, well, that's kind of easy to understand, because we've always been taught how evil those Pharisees and how evil those scribes were. Okay? That's kind of been a teaching of the church somewhere. But that's not how the Jewish people would have looked at it. That's not how these 12 apostles would have looked at it. Okay? They would have looked at it and said there's a righteousness that can be obtained, but not how the scribes and Pharisees were seeking it. And Jesus cautions them not to be like this, but they would have looked at it and they would have said, Lord, if the scribes and Pharisees aren't righteous, who in the world is? Because the scribes and the Pharisees were very zealous for God. They did things for God and did extra things that we probably would not do. They thought that they were zealous to serve God. They were doing all they possibly could to serve God. But they were mistaken thinking it was in their works fulfilling the law instead of having the heart of it of faith toward God. So the disciples sitting there, Jesus says, if you don't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, which was a righteousness everybody thought they had, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said they sit in Moses' seat, and so listen to them. Their teachings were sound, but he said don't do what they do. Okay? He said they put heavy burdens on men's shoulders for what they have added to the law. They love to be seen by men. The main things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith, they have neglected because they got off in being so picky about other little bitty things. When they were told to give a tenth from their garden that they had, they got to where they would take just a little leaf, a mint, and they would make sure they'd give a tenth of that. Okay? It all got a little mixed up. The outside, Jesus said, of the cup is clean. You go to great lengths to clean the outside of the cup, but the inside holds the stain, which is extortion and self-indulgences that you have. Jesus even said in chapter 22, he said that there was hypocrisy and lawlessness that you've gotten into. You're so careful on these other little things that you've lost the whole emphasis of what the law is all about. It's a heart toward God. They tried to obtain a righteousness in the acts of keeping the law. There's a story that I came across in 1992 in Israel. One of the commentaries tells this. In 1992 in Israel, there was an apartment building that caught fire. Okay? And it was on the Sabbath. Their Sabbath, Saturday. These are Orthodox Jews now. And before they called the fire department, they had to get in touch with a rabbi to see if it was permissible to call the fire department, because you cannot use the phone on the Sabbath to these certain people because it would break the electric current. And if you broke the electric current, that was considered work on the Sabbath. And they said three apartment buildings burned down before the rabbi gave them an answer. True story. Now, I'm not just picking on them, but do you see how we can take God's word and then the traditions of men add to it? And that's what they were doing here. And so what they were doing was a self-righteousness. If I do these extra things, if we do these extra things, God's got to accept me then, right? I'm going to have this standing before him because we're keeping the law so well. But they've added to it. And Jesus said, that's the burden that you've added to men. They're not even enjoying worshiping God anymore. It's a burden to them to have to do the things that God has given. If we get to that point in our churches and in Christianity, if people think it's a burden to come to church, we're doing the wrong thing. It really is. We should come to worship God that has delivered us from sin, from death, hell, and the grave. It should be something happy and enjoyable that we do. Paul says in Romans 9:32, they sought it by works and of the law, and they stumbled, that the scripture talks about. They should have sought it in the faith of Abraham, just as he did. So we're cautioned that our righteousness must bear good fruit, that we should seek God's will, and we must not depend on material things in our life. Jesus said to obtain true righteousness, a right standing before God, you must be born again, and that's what he said to Nicodemus. Now we get to the meat of it. I know you're wondering when. Now we get to the righteousness for us. Jeff, that sounds good for Israel. You've told us about this history. I got up early this morning. I came here. I was in my seat, and you hadn't told me much about me. Yes, we are, the whole thing. Our right standing before God. You want to know about your right standing before God. All those people in Israel yesterday, when they were in a panic, and others, I don't care what they were thinking, they wanted to know that they had a right standing before God if that was their last day on earth. Most people on the planet want to know, in whatever they believe in, that they have a right standing before God. Everything else besides. Romans 10:3 says, Paul said they had a lack of knowledge, and in establishing their own righteousness, they did not submit to God. Satan has fooled so many people on this planet to believe that whatever they're doing, they're going to be okay after they die. Because in the Muslim religion and the other religions, all of you know that. It's not a works religion. People cannot come to Jesus without the truth of the gospel. But even then, there needs to be a submission to the righteous requirements of God, not of our own efforts of acquiring salvation, but of God's law, okay? Then how do we obtain this righteousness? You all know that, but that's the teaching of Jesus. Unless you exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, in other words, their works, to think they're going, if they do more, they're going to get to heaven. If they do more, if they keep the law more, they're going to get to heaven. They were very self-righteous, and I'm not saying that in an evil way. They were very righteous in their own eyes. But Jesus said, you must exceed that. That's not to do more works. What he's doing is he's pointing to himself here. The righteousness comes from Christ Jesus. Let's get to the point. Okay? Then how do we obtain this righteousness? Here is what we tell a Jewish person. Here is what we tell the world where they're wanting to know when the world looks like it's fixing to come. I even heard people talking on TV yesterday about World War III. Okay? We may not be that way, but there's people scared right now. Here's what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be the sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in who? In him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was saying to them here, and he would teach them later on, I am what makes you righteous. I am what you need to be in. The Pharisees have not obtained this, but you can very easily obtain this through me, through the sacrifice of the cross that I will bring. I am the righteousness of God. God will impute your salvation upon you because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, his blood covering me. David's talking about the word imputed, which means God's favor upon me. The righteousness when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ will be because of him, not of me. Amen. Because I would fail it. Amen. It would be like me trying to keep a New Testament law. Okay? He's shown us in the Old Testament that's not what it was. But we can say in the New Testament, there's some people that think, and I've had them talk to me before, well, I just haven't done this, and I just hadn't done that, and Jeff, I can't come to church yet because I need to get some more things straight before I come. And I tell them it's not going to happen. You're not going to get it straight. You're not going to clean yourself up before God before you come to me. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, working through you and in you that brings you to that. We are righteous before God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Because of that right there. That's what he's talking about here. That's what he's teaching these disciples. That's what they went out into the world and proclaimed, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He is this righteousness. Before he gets into these other teachings, he's telling them that in his teaching. When someone's not saved, that is their condition before God. Unacceptable to God. Why? Because their sin has not been forgiven. They still bear it upon themselves. They don't have that standing. But you don't have to stay that way. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. Amen. That our sin might be washed away. Now, because of him, we are acceptable to God. We are righteous and a right standing before God. That's why we're righteous. I'll keep going over that, but that's why we're righteous. Yes, there is a righteous way we can live. Yes, there is a righteousness upon us that we can do ourselves, but never in the standing before God. It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you doubt your standing before God, confess your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. I'm going to put this in there. It's not hard. We want to make it sometimes hard to people. Jesus made it as easily as he possibly could. He climbed up on the cross. He died. He rose from the grave. He is at the right hand of the Father. He told me simply this, believe and be saved. Repent and be baptized. In other words, associate yourself with me. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. There's nothing else you can do. There's nothing else that you have to do. Romans 10:10 says this, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's nothing else added to it. The first church shouted with joy over that. Because it came out from under the law. They were doing all of that a tenth of a mint. They were doing all of that a lady couldn't brush her hair on the Sabbath. They were doing all of that you couldn't scratch the floor with a chair because that was considered plowing and it would work. They were doing all of that and it was a burden to them. And then all of a sudden they realized all they had to do was give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, keep His commandments of love and live in freedom. Can you see why they came to church excited when they came? Do you see why they had some joy in worship? We haven't lived. Sometimes I think of myself, I'm spoiled. I hadn't lived under that. That's one reason I might not have the worship that I should have. But they did, and they came out from under it, and they were joyous, and they were happy, and they sang praise. They couldn't believe it. Really, they couldn't believe that God would do this. They couldn't believe that God came and died on the cross. They couldn't believe that God would give them this freedom. Surely there's a lot of things I need to do. Yes, but He gives us those works to do, and we keep them. They couldn't believe the freedom that they had in Christ Jesus. Now they were coming and they were hugging each other, and they were happy, and they were praying for each other, and they were singing hymns of praise, and they were praising God, and they were giving testimony of those being saved daily in the church, and they were eating meals together, and they were having fun, what they were having in Christ Jesus. That's righteousness. That's what He's telling them here. That's a standing before God, and that's how He wants us to be. Amen. We're not under that old satanic deception that man tries to bring. You have freedom in Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved through faith in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. And we should have that joy in our life every day. Listen.